Now, what I realized is that here on Daf Vav, whether it's Vav on Alpha or Vav on Beis, all the way to the Mishnah, it's pretty much Agadita. And a lot of this Agadita requires that we go through Psukim and Tanakh. You know, if we had an English translation of the Tanakh, it would be great, but we'll have to survive without it right now. So we're on the top of Daf Vav on Aleph, and we're talking about a word which is a city that's listed in Sefer Yoshua as Hamas. And we want to know what Hamas is. And we're going to see over here in a statement of Rabbi Yochanan that he claims that in his young years, in his youth, he presented his thesis to the Chachamim and they accepted it, that Hamas, which is in the Shevet of Naphtali, Zot Tveria. The Lama Nikrei Shma Hamas, meaning the real name of the city is Tveria, but yet in Tanakh it appears as Hamas. So Hamas is really a nickname, if you will, Al Shum Chamei Tveria, because Tveria, which is again the original name of the city, is famous for its hot springs. So the word Hamas comes from Chamei Tveria. Now then in the same listing in Yoshua, it mentions a city named Rakas, and Rabbi Yochanan identifies that as Tzipori, Zo Tzipori. So Tzipori, like Tveria, is a city up north, and according to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, these two cities were in the northern section of Naphtali, and now we wonder why the Torah, why the Tanakh uses the word Rakas to refer to Tzipori. Why not call it by its real name? And that Rabbi Yochanan offers an answer: Lama Nikrea Shma Rakas. Why is Tzipori called by this appellation, this nickname Rakas? Mishum de Medalia Kiraksa Dinara, because it's situated high up on top of a mountain. Right. And that's like the rocks of the
Seinzel has some contributions here.
Yeah, what does he say?
Number one, Tveria is named after the Roman Emperor Ordus Antipas. His Roman name is Tiberius. So that's where where the name comes from. And then a little bit later on, it says that Kamur Khan, the Rov Hadayot Nosta HaChorbot Al Chorbot HaYishuv Rakat. In other words, that Rakat and Feri are really the same place.
Okay, but right now I think we're learning that Rakat is Tzipori, whereas Hamat is Tveria.
Yeah, that they are not, they're all, both in the north, but they're not close to one another.
Right. Now, what is this phrase, Kiraksa Dinara? It means on the Sfas HaNor, which is a little bit higher than the river itself. Now we have a third city named Kineres, Zoginosar. Now it's interesting. Here, there's a little bit of a reverse, in the sense that the name of the city is really Ginosar, and that's how we know the city, but yet the Pasuk calls it by a different name, Kineres. V'loma nikra shma, why is Kineres called why is this city Ginosar? Why is it called Kineres in the Pasuk? What's the meaning of Kineres? The mesike pera kekola de kinre, because its fruits are sweet like the sound of a kinar, of a musical instrument. We'll call it a harp. And it's very interesting that we're making a comparison between taste of food, in this case fruits, and the taste, so to speak, of a musical sound. Now all this is according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rav is not happy with this. He's not on board. He doesn't believe that Rakas is Tzipori. Amar Rava. Mika lemanti omar rakas lav teveria hi. Everybody agrees, and I'm going to prove it to you in a few ways, that rakas is teveria. So don't identify rakas as tzipori, but rather as teveria. And how do I know that rakas is teveria? If a person passes away here in Bavel, so Rava's in Bavel, and apparently he's a very significant person, a big Talmud Chacham. How do I know this? Because they're grieving and mourning over him as all the way in Eretz Yisrael, in a place called Teveria. Hasam, they're in Teveria, Safti Lehachi. This is the way they eulogize such a person. Gadol hu b'sheshach. Sheshach is another name for Bavel. Rashi explains that Sheshach in what's called Adbash is Bavel. There's also a pasuk in Yirmiya, Eich nilkada Sheshach vatidpas tehilas kol oretz eich hoysa l'shama Bavel bagoyim. So we see that the word Sheshach is Bavel. And now we're saying about a great man that passed away in Bavel, but v'shemlo, he has a reputation, Barakas here in Teveria, in Eretz Yisrael. So we see that we refer to Teveria as Rakas, which means that Teveria is Rakas, and not the way Rabbi Yochanan said that Rakas is Tzipori, and Chamas was Teveria. No. Now Rava brings another proof that Teveria is Rakas.
Now, Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, right? In Teveria?
I'm not sure that he was in Teveria. It makes sense.
Certainly in the north, that's for sure.
Yeah. V'chimaske arona lahosam. Now we're talking about here's a slightly different scenario. Now we're talking about a person who died in Bavel. Morning, Moshe. And we're bringing him for burial to Teveria. Now, Bavel is in the north, and Teveria is in the north. So very often, when they brought a person from Bavel to be buried, to be interred in Eretz Yisrael, they brought him to Teveria. Okay, so that's important. And now, what happens? B'chimaski arona lahasam. When the aron, the coffin, came from Bavel to Teveria, sapti le hachi. This was the hesped that they delivered. And we're going to see in this hesped that Rakas is mentioned as a pseudo-name for Teveria. Rakas is Teveria. So here's what the Safdanim, these are the professional eulogizers, they would send out a message in the marketplace, in the public, that now this person who died, this deceased, later on the Gemara is going to identify him as Reb Zera in this case, is coming, his coffin is coming from Bavel to Teveria. We have to go out and greet it as part of the mitzvah of Levaya Sames. So this is what they would declare. Ave Sridim, which literally means those who love Sridim. Now, who are the Sridim? So the Ein Yaakov, that's a commentary on the Agadita, says, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Ein Sridim el Talmidei Chachamim. Now, who are the ones who actually love Talmidei Chachamim? And we'll see why they're called Sridim, the Talmidei Chachamim. They are the Talmidei Chachamim themselves. So sometimes when you want to refer to a Talmud Chacham, you call him someone who loves Torah scholars. That's how we call a Torah scholar. Yoshve Rakas. They sit in the Beis Medrash in Rakas. Tzu. In other words, even though you're sitting and learning in the city of Teveria, which is called Rakas, nevertheless, it's time to close the Gemara, get up, and go likras ha'aron, in order to receive the coffin of the niftar, the person who passed away, who's now being brought for burial in Rakas in Tveria. V'kablu haruge omek. Now, I'm not exactly sure why this loudspeaker, you know, this proclamation mentions haruge omek. Omek is a reference to Bavel, but I'm not sure why we're talking about haruge. But the person wasn't murdered, as far as I can tell. He died a natural death. So maybe Jerry will help us out with this. I'm not sure. Maybe you have something there. Why it's called haruge omek? It's on the top of Vav. Oh, I see. Okay, let's see if by chance we can follow this. Does Rashi say anything why he calls him Haruge Omek? Just curious what the word Haruge means.
Haruge Omek. Lav Kiblu. He says, Yosef Rakas, Kiblu Kablu, Haruge Omek. Mete Babel. Amuka.
So it's not Haruge. Let's just see if he adds anything here.
And it has another comment. Rav Zera, Allah mi Babel Eretz Israel, b'met sham b'tiberia.
Right, that's what I mentioned before. I just wanted to see if he says anything on why it's called...
So it doesn't say anything either, just Mete Babel.
Right, that's Rashi, Mete Babel, but I'm just... Why aren't I finding this? Okay, just one second... The slain, he translates as the slain, which is a literal translation.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that Rav Zeru was murdered. I never heard such a thing.
No.
Okay. All right. Whatever it is, you know, you have to bear with me, Rav Osef, because it's going to take us a few days to get to the next Mishnah, which is really where the action starts, as far as I'm concerned. I was thinking of skipping this Agadita because it's way beyond my sphere of influence, so to speak. But, you know, we want to finish the Masechta Bli Neder, and so I figured let's not, if we can avoid skipping it. In any event, we see clearly that Rakas is Tveria. And Rava proves it from two ways. First of all, somebody died in Bavel and is buried in Bavel, but we deliver the eulogy here in Tveria, and here the eulogizers use the word Rakas to refer to Tveria. Number two, somebody died in Bavel and they bring his coffin to Eretz Yisrael. Once again, we talk about the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham and we have to go out to greet him, you know, mean to bring him for burial. And we're going to bury him here in Rakas, which means here in Tveria. Okay, so that's what I have so far. And I want to add one last comment over here. Why is Bavel called Amuka, which like literally means the deep? So this is based on a Rashi in Brachos Perek Yud Aleph, Vayehi b'nasa'am mikedem, vayimtzu'u bik'a bi'eretz shinar. Eretz shinar is the biblical term for Bavel. And they found Bavel. They discovered Bavel bibika. Bika means a low point. I guess it's like below sea level or something. It's down below. Now the Gemara tells us about the death of Rav Zera and the eulogy for Rav Zera. Rav Zera ki noch nafshe de Rav Zera. Now the phrase noch nafshe means he died, but what does it mean literally noch nafshe? So he has a comment here on the bottom, which I wanted to call to your attention. And he says that when a tzaddik dies, we call him noch nafshe, as if his soul is resting. What does it mean, it's resting? He didn't have a single moment to rest during his lifetime. He was so dedicated with the yegia b'avodah for avodas Hashem. Now finally, he, so to speak, has a repose because he died. Another pshat is that noch nafshe is b'loshen nichusa. Nichusa means it's so to speak it's comfortable for him because he's now entering into the eternal world of emes, the truth, the world of truth as opposed to the world of sheker. So Rav Zera dies in Eretz Yisrael. Now keep in mind that Rav Zera is a classical example of what we call an Oleh. Somebody made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, he made Aliyah from Babel to Eretz Yisrael not once but twice on two different periods of his life. And when he died, after he came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Pasach Alei, they opened up the Hesped, the eulogy, Hahu Saftana, one of those professional Maspidim, and here's what they declared. Eretz Shinar, as we said before, Eretz Shinar is the biblical term for Bavel. And some say that the reason why the Safdan here, who was giving a eulogy, deliberately avoided calling it Bavel is because Bavel is a country that's associated with evil. And Eretz Shinar is a little bit more adin, so to speak. So we didn't want to mention at the funeral of Rav Zera Bavel. And Hara V'Yolda. Now, it's true that Rav Zera was born in Bavel, and you might think that therefore Bavel is responsible for his development, but no. Eretz Tzvi, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see exactly why Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi, Gidla matured him. In other words, his real excellence in scholarship was developed in Eretz Yisrael. Shashu'eha. Shashu'eha means like this is the, you know, if Bavel has to talk about its beauty or its Shashu'im is something beloved, so that Babylonian Jew, so to speak, by birth, was raised in Eretz HaTzvi in Eretz Yisrael. Oy lanu amra rakas. Now, Rakas is the name of a city. In this case, according to Rava, we identify Rakas as Tveria. And Tveria now has like a personality. It's treated like a living being. And that being, which is the city of Tveria, is crying out, Oy lanu, woe to us, ki ivda klei chemdasa. Because what we've lost here in Eretz Yisrael is a klei chemda, something very, very cherished. So once again, we look in the Yaakov on the Agadah, and he says klei chemda is a reference to the Torah itself. And why does he use the word klei chemda in the plural? So the answer is because Rabbi Zera made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael twice. So that's a reference in the plural of klei chemda. Okay. Now, in the previous Gemara, we spoke about somebody who died in Bavel, and we called him a gadol hu b'sheshach. That's a reference to Reb Zera, as we said earlier. So now we begin to understand, based on Rava, that Rakas is Tveria. So now, if Rakas is Tveria, what's Chamas? Because again, it was Rabbi Yochanan who identified Chamas as Tveria. So now we have to figure out what Chamas is. So Rava says, Elam Rava, Chamas, that's mentioned in that same pasuk in Yoshua, Zo Chame Gror. So there's apparently some sort of city also in the north by the name of Gror, and it has hot springs. And therefore, the word Hamas, which is a reference to hot springs, is not the hot springs of Tveria, but rather hot springs of Gerar, of a place called Gerar. And I don't think this is the same as the biblical Gerar, you know, where Yitzhak shows up over there with Melech Gerar.
He says that Chamei Gerar, it's an area which Tveria is very close to it. So
right.
It's a neighboring area.
Right, it's Bain Gader L'Tveria. So there's a place called Gader, and there's a city called Tveria. In between, on the slope of the mountain, is a place where there were hot springs, and that was called Chamei Gror. Some say instead of Chamei Gror, it should be Chamei Gader. That's Rav David, the Chasdei David. Okay, now we're up to Rakas. So what do we know about Rakas? Rakas is listed again in the same pasuk in Yoshua. And Rabbi Yochanan had identified Rakas as Tzipori, but Rava says that Rakas is Tveria. Correct? So that's what it says here. Rava is saying Rakas zu Tveria. Then we get to Kineres, and Kineres we said was Ginosar. That was what Rabbi Yochanan had said, correct? And it seems that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yochanan at least on one point, namely how to identify Kineres. But Lama Nikra Shma Rakas, why is Tveria called Rakas? Now this is an interesting question, because Rabbi Yochanan previously asked why Tzipori was called Rakas, and he came up with the idea that Tzipori was high up on a mountain. But according to Rava, Rakas is a nickname for Tveria. So we have to figure out, we understand why in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference the nickname for Tveria was Chamas because of the Chamei Tveria, but according to Rava that Rakas is Tveria, correct? According to Rava that Rakas is Tveria, so then why is Rakas, you know, Chamas could be an appropriate nickname for Tveria, but why is Rakas an appropriate nickname for Tveria? So he says, Shafilu Reikonim Sheba Maleim Mitzos Kerimon. So Rakas is, at least the first two letters, are Reik. Reik means someone who's empty. He's empty of Torah knowledge. And we beautify and praise Tveria, because even the rank and file citizens of Tveria who are basically empty of Torah knowledge, they weren't scholars, yet they were full of mitzvos karimon. This is a very famous phrase, maleim mitzvos karimon, you know, describe Klal Yisrael as maleim mitzvos karimon. Now the Marsha adds another point over here. There's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, kepela harimon rakasich. And here the word Rakasich has the three letters Resh, Kuf, Tav in it. And it refers to a Rimon. So if Rakas is Tveria, we want to say that the people of Tveria are full of, you know, just like the pomegranate is full of so many seeds, so too, somebody said, told me once, there's 613 seeds in a pomegranate. I never counted. But just like we said before that the people of Tveria were full of mitzvos, like a Rimon is full of seeds, so that's the pasuk, Kepelach HaRimon Rakasich, in the 7th chapter of Shir HaShirim. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiya Omar, Rakas Shma. Oh, so until now we've been assuming that Tveria is the real name of the city, and we had all explanation why it was called Tveria, but Rakas is the nickname. Now Rabbi Yirmiya switches it around the other way. He says, no. The original name of the city, the real name of the city is Rakas. The name Tveria is only a nickname. It's a kinui, what we call. Okay? Now he points out here that in Rakas hu shma, if the real name is Rakas, he efshel levayer shehu machmas eza remez al yoshvei ha'ir. In other words, when you talk about Ramazim, you know, that we said before, Rakas is Filu Reikonim Shabbat Malayim Kivitzis Karimon, that makes sense if you're talking about a kinu, about a nickname. If you're talking about the ear itself, we're not going to say that the city is the name of the city is because of the behavior and the religious level of the people who live therein. You know, that's something that comes later on. So the original name of the city was Rakas. When we get to a kinui, like for example Tveria, now we have to explain why the name Tveria. That's all true according to Rabbi Yirmiya. Again, if we go back to Rava, Rava says the original name of the city was Tveria. And Rakas was a nickname, so we have to figure out why they gave it the nickname of Rakas. So now, if according to Rabbi Yirmiya, Tveria is the nickname, so what's the significance of the name Tveria? Sheyosheves b'tabura shel Eretz Yisrael. Very strange Gemara, in my opinion. I don't know if anybody comments on it, because the middle of Eretz Yisrael is really Yerushalayim. I don't know why Tveria, which is in the north, is identified as the middle of Eretz Yisrael. So if you have an answer for that from one of your commentaries, please let me know.
Now, if you immerse yourself in Tveria and you see all the Hebrew, that's Middle Israel. You guys are all Yerushalmi. Wait till you live in Rehovot, then you understand what Middle Israel is.
Yeah, Rehovot.
Okay.
Yeah, so, we'll see about the name Rehovot too.
So anyways, that's just my commentary.
Right. Rava Amar Rakas Hushma. So he agrees with Rabbi Yirmiyah that the real name of Tveria is Rakas. The Lama Nikra Shema Tveria has a different take on the nickname Tveria. Shetova Riyasa. Tova Riyasa means it has a certain splendor to it, I guess, a certain radiance.
If you don't mind, just when it says Emtza, is, you know, if you're coming from Bavel, your path was not a direct path across. Your path was around,
from the north,
from the north down. So, you know, you can get to the edge of Eretz Yisrael and you can say, okay, yeah, buried you in Eretz Yisrael. But if you get to Tveria, it's part of the middle. You know, there's a big middle.
Right. It's part of the middle.
It's part of the middle. So that's the big...
It's all relative.
It's a relative kind of a statement. That's the only thing I can think of. I can't think of anything.
Right.
Because I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Like, for sure, if you got to Tveria, you're for sure in Eretz Yisrael.
Right. You're deep in Eretz. You're already, you know, in the landmass of Eretz Yisrael.
If you're on the
borderline,
Golan Heights, maybe it's Syria, maybe it's that. But no, if you're in Tveria, you're there.
Okay, I like it. Okay, so this other explanation here offered by Rava is that the name Tveria is Tova Re'iyasa. It's a beautiful city. It has Ginos and Pardesim. It has many orchards and so forth. Okay. Now we go back to the list of cities in Yoshua, and there's a city there that's called Kitron. Omer Ze'ira, Kitron Zutzipori. In other words, the original name of the city is Kitron. We call it Tzipori, but it's not really Tzipori. And again, we're now forced to do so, because until now we thought that Rabbi Yochanan had suggested that Hamas is Tzipori, but now we're saying no. That, I'm sorry, that Rakas was Tzipori, but now we're saying no, Rakas is Tveria. So if that be the case, where is Tzipori on this list? So the answer is it's Kitron. V'lama nikra shma Tzipori. Why is it called by that name Tzipori? That's a nickname. She Yosheves Barosh Ahar Kitzipor. Just like you have a bird that's perched on high, so too Tzipori, as we said earlier, is high up. We thought that's why it was called Rakas, but now we say no. That's why it's called Tzipori, because like a bird goes high up onto the mountain. So Gemara asks, the Kitron Tzipori, is it really so that Kitron is Tzipori after all? Ha Kitron b'chelko shel Zvulin Havi. Dichsiv, we have a pasuk. Okay, this pasuk is in Sefer Shoftim, and it says there that Zvulin lo horish es Yoshvei Kitron ves Yoshvei Nahalo. So this indicates that we're talking about a city called Kitron, which sits in the area of Zvulun. So it can't be Tzipori, because Tzipori is in the area of Naphtali. That seems to be the Gemara's kash over here. Just want to just see if he says anything. He says, Kol Shevet HaYitzarech LaHorish Es Yoshvei Aretz Michelko. So that wherever the Shevet that was designated to a certain area to conquer that, to live in that area, it was their responsibility to conquer that area. Ulekayim lo sechay kol neshama. Hapasuk mona es hashvatim shlokimu es chiyuvam vehishiru es yoshvei aretz lagurba ulahalos lahem mas. Umikach hapasuk maskir zvulin shlo horish es yoshvei kitron. So the fact that the pasuk accuses Zvulun of being lax and not fulfilling his obligation to conquer Kitron, it means that was the area that was designated for Zvulun. That's why he was obligated to conquer the city, and he didn't do so because he wanted to let them live and collect taxes from them. And then the next line, which is going to occupy the Gemara for a long time, is Uzvulin Misraim al Midosav Havu. Zvulun was not happy with his lot, L-O-T. In other words, the fact that Shamayim gave him that particular area, he was not happy about that. He was kind of jealous of other Shvatim, especially of Naphtali. How do we know this? Where do you find that Zvulun was he was a complainer? Shenemar, also Pasuk in Shoftim, Zvulun Am Cheref Nafsho Lamus. I'll read the end of the Pasuk. Naphtali Al Merome Sada. So Zvulun is, so to speak, you know, willing to die. He's not happy about something. Why? Because Naphtali is Merome Sada. Naphtali inherits all the Sados, all the fields and the orchards. Matam. Why does Zvulun, so to speak, curse himself that he should die, meaning he's so depressed, so to speak, he's so disappointed? And again, the pasuk shot in this pasuk would be that Zvulun was the fighter, you know, he was willing to fight to die, but that's not how the Gemara is darshaning it. So the Marsha points out over here, I'll read to you the Marsha, he says, Lefi pshuta shel mikra, Mishtabech Zvulun al shechiref nafsho lamus b'milchama, that Zvulun was willing to die in battle. Ach lo yadanu mash vacho shel Naphtali shehu al merome sada. Why in the same pasuk, at the end of the pasuk, does it praise the fact that Naphtali inherits all these sados? Ulakach, therefore, in order to answer that question, darshu shebaosa milchama ro b'nei Zvulun eschelko shel Naphtali, when the Shevet Zvulun went out to battle, they saw the area of Naphtali and they got jealous of what Naphtali had inherited. Vayizak Barak es Zvulun ves Naphtali Kedesha. So we see that they were next to each other going out to battle, and the Poskin Shoftim indicates that when Zvulun went out to battle, he noticed the chelek, the nachla of Naphtali, Mikodesh Naphtali. The kavan shara Zvulun is chelko shenaphtali chirif nafshal amus al roa mazolam. He says, "My luck is so poor. I should die, so to speak." And why is that so? Matam. Why was he so depressed? Mishum de Naphtali al merom esada. Naphtali was inheriting the beautiful fertile land that was full of sados. And Zvul Amr Zvul thank Kodesh Baruch Hu Baruch Shalom. Lachai, for my brother, meaning for Naphtali, Nasatolem Sados Ukramim, you gave him orchards and vineyards. Velina Sata Horem Ugvos, and I get the high points and the low points. Very difficult to plow and plant in such an area. Lachai Nasati Nasatolem Arotzos, you gave them dry land, flat land. Velina Sata Yamim. Unahoros, right? The pasuk says, "Zvulun lechof yamim yishkod." So basically, Zvulun got areas that were on the ocean. Omalo, Sakadosh Baruch Hu responds, "Kulon tzrichin lecha al yidei chilazon." Don't be depressed about the fact that you're stuck with the yamim, with the water areas, the bodies of water, because the chilazon, which is so rare and so expensive, is to be found in your area. And I'm not exactly sure if the Gemara is saying that the chilazon is to be found in the waters, or maybe because again Zvulun was complaining also that he had high areas, maybe the chilazon would be found in the harim, in the high areas, but in any event it commanded a great sum of money. Why? Because they took the chilazon and they would take out the dye and they would use it for tzitzis. For
Tcheles. Yeah. So he was on the border. His land wasn't good, but the water provided. But he,
yeah. In other words, he shouldn't complain that he can't he can't market his produce, but he can market something else that's worth even more than produce. Right. That was Hashem's response to Zvulun. Don't get jealous looking at Naphtali. Shenemar Moshe Rabbeinu, when he bestows a bracha on Shevet Zvulun, he says Amim Har Yikro. And Har Yikro means that all the Shvatim will gather together to the Har, to the mountain of Zvulun. And then Moshe Rabbeinu continues with regard to the relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun. He says, Shefa Yamim Yinoku Usfune Tmune Chol. And what is this Sfunei Tmunei Chol? What's underneath the sand, so to speak? Something is concealed underneath the hand. Tani Rav Yosef, Sfunei Zechilazon. What was hidden was the chilazon, which was used for a dye for tcheles and for tzitzis, right? And that's Sofun. Sofun means it is worth a tremendous amount of money. And the Gemara tells us in Menachos that it would only come from the waters once every 70 years. And Tmune, which says Zo Tris. Tris is a kind of a large fish that's very fat. And that's also something that Zvulun would harvest, and he would fish it and then sell it at a high price. Chol, Zos Chuchis Levana, some kind of white gold, white glass, and that also is again found in the Chelik of Zvulun. So when it says in the Pasuk, Amim Har Yikro, that all the nations will come and gather on him for his Har, it means your mountain is where you're going to sell chilazon, which is called Sfune. So don't complain about your chelik, because you're in good shape.
They're great places to make sales.
Right. Okay. So now, Zvulun responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Lefanus. So Zvulun says to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Mimo Di'eni. In other words, the chilazon is going to come up from the waters on its own, you know, once every 70 years, and everyone's going to come and maybe they'll take it on their own. You know, the waters of Hefker, I don't own it. How do I know that they're going to pay me? Omer Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts him, and he says, because in the next part of the pasuk, after it says Amim Har Yikro, it says Shom Yizbuchu Zivchei Tzedek. There they will bring karbonos, which are called karbonos of Tzedek. So this means that the pasuk is creating a kind of an analogy between extracting the dye of tcheles and bringing karbonos. Just like when a person brings a karbon, he has to bring a karbon that he owns. He can't bring something that's stolen, right? A stolen karbon is possible. So too, if somebody's going to go into your territory and into the waters and take the chilazon and use it for tzitzis,
yeah.
And it's certainly worth at least the shavah prut, and he's not paying for you.
Okay, yeah, that's, yeah.
Then he's not gonna succeed.
In other words, Rashi says it can kill hatzviya v'achol lo yolkno. In other words, only
some
you,
sort of metaphysical
only you, curse only off. You can take when you take the chalazon, the dye will if it goes
will be,
in your hands,
will be dark one, and
the
and
dye will be right, or the glass will be so. Otherwise, no one's gonna be able to do it. So right. It's not like someone could just take. That's what Baruch Hu is saying.
So he's really he's guaranteeing him
he's cornered the market
that they won't right
Biladiut,
that they won't steal,
as we say in Hebrew.
Very good, Biladiut. B'siman ze yehei lecha. I'll give you a siman, says the Kodesh Baruch, that they won't steal it from you. Kol hanotel mimcha b'lo domim einu mor b'frak machti shelo klum. I'm going to give them a whammy that if they take that which is rightfully yours, they won't succeed in their business deals, and they won't be able to make a profit. Okay, now we're back to Zaira. Let's go back to Zaira, because we lost the trend for a second. Zaira said that Zaira identified Kitron as Tzipori, and the Gemara had a problem with that, because Kitron is not in the Shevet Naphtali, but rather in the Shevet of Zvulun. So the Gemara now expresses this question and formulates it in words. Isak adakta Kitron zu Tzipori. Now you're going to tell me that Kitron is Tzipori. Is then Amay Misraim al Midosava Havi Tzipori Milsa Dadifa Tuva? If Zvulun inherited Tzipori, then we know that Tzipori was Milsa Dadifa Tuva, meaning it's a beautiful area. It's not just, you know, high mountains and low valleys, but it's Shetach. It's a plain, plain, and it's flat land. So why would Zvulun be upset that he didn't receive any land that's, you know, that's what's the opposite in English of arid? fertile?
Fertile.
Okay, yeah, we use fertile. The word fertile. Yeah. Well, why is he complaining? I don't have any fertile land. Right. And God had to come and console him with the...
I think from a perspective, like, if you look for Zvun, like Haifa and area, all that, it's not like arid. It's more like with all the hills and everything, you can't lay a fertile. Like, you can't do it. Anyways, it's not... There's nothing... It's all like rock and stone. It's like nothing you can work with. So that's his complaint.
But apparently the Gemara is assuming now that Sipori is Milsa da Difetuva, and it's very very fertile land.
Yeah.
The Chitay, but perhaps you'll say that Zvulun wasn't satisfied with Sipori. Why? Even though Sipori is a fertile land, but Lespe, you cannot define it or describe it as Zavas Cholav Dvash. Right, Zavas Cholav Dvash means it literally flows with milk and honey.
Right. The
and why would you say about Tzipori that the land is Vomerei Shlokish? So now the Gemara says that's not a good answer. L'didi Chazili, I was in Tzipori, and what did I see there? Zavas Cholav Dvash. And how wide of an area of a shetach was Zavas Cholav Dvash? Avi Shisha Sarmil, Shisha Sarmil, 60 mil square, which is what we call 16 parsios merubos. Okay, and that's a massive amount of area. But Chitem, again, once again you'll reject this, and you'll say that even though Tzipori was Zavas Cholav Dvash, but nevertheless Zvulun complained because the lo nefisha didei kmo da'achua, because he was looking at his brothers, he was looking at Naphtali over his shoulder, and he saw that Naphtali was getting larger areas of land. So even though you'll tell me that Tzipori is Zavas Cholav Dvash and it has 16 square parsios, but nevertheless that's not as large as what Naphtali got. That's also not true. How do we know that's not true? V'homer Rabba Bar Bachonam Rabbi Yochanan L'didi Chozili Zavas Cholav Dvash the Chol Arad Yisrael. He took a survey, a trip through all of the land of Israel to see where Zavas Cholav Dvash, and he says the following: if you would join together all these different spots, these different locations on the map of Israel, and link them together to one area, how much is Zavas Cholav Dvash already? Havi kimi bei kube ad ikra de tul bankni. Okay, these names are different places, and the distance between one and that and the other was Esrim Vitartin Parsi Urka. In its length, it would be 22 parsos, and in its width, which is called Pusya, Shisa Parsi, it was 6 parsi. And all told, that means 132 parsos squared. And basically, if Zvulun got 16 parsos square, so that's a fair share of the Eretz Zavas Cholav Dvash. He wasn't getting a smaller area than anyone else.
Right.
So Gemara says, nevertheless, I still insist that Kitron is Tzipori. Afilu Hachi, even so, even though Tzipori is Zavas Cholav Dvash, nevertheless Zvulun complains. Why does he complain? Because Sodos Ukramim Adifale. He's willing to give up on Cholav Dvash for the sake of Sados Ukramin. Sados Ukramin, Zvulun's mind, weighs heavier, is worth more than Cholav Dvash. And the Gemara is going to now bring a proof of that, Dekonami. I'll prove it to you from the language of the Pasuk, that Sados Ukramin are better than Zavas Cholav Dvash. Pasuk says, V'naftoli al merome sada. That why are we praising the area that was designated for Naphtali? Because it's Merome Sod. So the emphasis here is on Sod, not on Zavas Cholav Dvash, but on Sod. Shmami, no, we see clearly that this was the Taina of Zvulun, that he doesn't have Sodos Ukramim. Naphtali is Yoshev Merome Sod, he has Sodos Ukramim, and Zvulun himself got cut off, so to speak, from Sodos and Kramim. Let's just push it for another 2 minutes. Amar Rabbi Avo, the Ikron Te'oker. This is the end of a long pasuk in Sefer Tzfanya. I'll read to you the whole pasuk. It says, Ki Aza Zuva Tia Vi Ashkelon Lishmama Ashdod Bitzarai Migershua Vi Ikron Te'oker Zu Kesari Bas Edom. So this is all a prophecy in Tzfanya Novi that foretells the ultimate destruction of Esav and the offspring of Esav, and specifically at the time of Chanukah. It's interesting that we got to this right near Chanukah. Zu Kesari Bas Edom, she Yosheves Bein Acholos, the Hoysa Yosei Tkul Yisrael Bimea Yevonim, Ukshagover Malchus Beis Hashmanoi Vinitzchum, are you coronal song? Achidas Migdal Shir. So it's a whole description about the conquering of an area that was giving Klal Yisrael terrible tsaras during the period of the Yevonim, mm-hmm. and when the Hashmonaim were able to defeat them, then they subjugated this land. It was Kavusha, that's called Achidas Migdal Shir, and it was under the dominion of the Hashmonaim. Let me just see if I can add one thing here. In the footnote, he says, "Oh, he says that the Ikron Te'oker means lo yishar mimena ma'uma. It's going to be nekar. Nekar means completely undermined and devastated. And these are the areas of Edom. And Edom is usually identified with Rome and." The Rosh Hashir, he adds, says that when the Navi predicts Te'oker, so the Gemara calls it a Lashon Tekuah. Tekuah means it will be completely undermined. And that's what he says here, that when the Pasuk says in Tehillim, which is a very famous Pasuk, Zechar Hashem Livnei Adom Es Yom Yishalayim, that basically he was telling the people of Edom that they destroyed Yishalayim, and therefore they will be destroyed. Alright, so let's stop here. We'll make a note that we got up to Omar Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, and we're not even halfway through this Sagadish that keeps going until the next Mishnah, but hopefully we'll survive. Okay then?